Who am I? I mean, I'm a sinner, and God loves me. Isn't that wonderful? Today, the message is on God's love for you and I. And this message is a very eye-opening message to see more detail on how much God loves you and I. Before we begin, shall I say another word of prayer? Father in heaven, I pray, Lord, for your Spirit to be in control of me. I pray that your presence will be near to me, that your angels will be next to me, that you encourage me and help me to share your word. Please be with us, Lord, to catch a deeper glimpse of your love. As we study your word, may your Holy Spirit guide us. In Jesus' name, amen. The message entitled for this sermon is, Who Will Drink the Cup? Who will drink the cup? And I'm going to share with you a little bit of foundation to base this sermon upon. Shall we turn our Bibles to Revelation chapter 6? Revelation chapter 6 and verse 14 to 17. The Bible describes the second coming of Christ. Revelation chapter 6 and verse 14 through 17. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every freeman, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said unto the mountains and rocks, Fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? I mean, Jesus, he loves us, right? And we as sinners, we need Jesus, right? And isn't it a wonderful thing that he has saved us from our sins? We would never imagine being afraid to see God coming and Jesus coming the second time, right? It would be a wonderful event. We would not be afraid to hide, right? But in this passage of Revelation, there are a whole bunch of people here who are afraid to see Jesus. They're hiding from the face of God, the Father, who sits on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb of Jesus. They're afraid, for they know that it is a great day, and who will be able to stand in this wrath? Now, in Revelation chapter 14 describes the condition of the world before Jesus comes, and it goes into the three angels' message, which we are familiar with as Seventh-day Adventists, and the third angel has a specific message found in verse 9 and 10. Revelation 14, verse 9 and 10, And a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, If any man worship the beast and his image, and receive his mark on his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture in the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. Here we see again of God's wrath. And I can see why all these people are hiding, because they do not want to experience this. I would not want to experience this. And only those, according to Revelation here, who are worshiping the beast and his image. Now, we're not going to talk about that, but if you're interested, come and see me and I can give you Bible studies, lessons to go into a deeper understanding of this passage. But inspiration says to receive this mark means to come to the same decision as the beast has come, and to allow and to advocate the same ideas in direct opposition to the Word of God. So choosing to disobey God willingly, you know what is the truth, but you choose to break God's commandments anyway, you are heading towards receiving the mark of the beast. And those who choose willingly to disobey God, according to scriptures, the Bible says, they have to drink from a cup that contains the wrath of God. Now keep that in our minds right now. If we are disobedient to God, if we sin willingly, we know the penalty of sin is death. And this, the Bible describes, is being in a cup that we have to drink. There's a cup of God's wrath for those who break God's law. Who does God want us to worship? The Creator, Jesus, right? And that is a part of the three angels' message. But those who choose not to receive Jesus into their lives, those who choose not to worship Jesus will have to drink from the cup of God's wrath. Let us turn to 1 John chapter 5, verse 11 and 12. 1 John chapter 5, verse 11 and 12. This is our scripture reading, and it says, "And this is the record that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that has the Son has life, and he that has not the Son of God has not life." With Jesus, we can have life. Without Jesus, there is no life. It's very clear. But why is it that with Jesus, we have life? Why is it that with Jesus, we have eternal life? Well, let us turn our Bibles. Let's see exactly what Jesus did in order to give us life. Isaiah chapter 53. Why is it that with Jesus, we have life? Isaiah 53, verse 5 and 6. The Bible says, "But he was wounded for our transgressions." This is talking about Jesus. "He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all." What was laid upon Jesus? The iniquities of us all. Now, what does this mean? Let us take a little bit greater detail looking at the book of Matthew, chapter 26. When Jesus took upon himself the iniquity of us all, what was he really doing? Matthew chapter 26, and we're going to read verse 38 and 39. And the Bible says, "And then says he unto them," this is Jesus speaking, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me." And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "O my Father, If it be possible, let this, what? Cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thy will. Again, we can find in verse 42, and he went again the second time and prayed, saying, Oh, my Father, if this cup may pass away from me, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And again in verse 44, and he left them and went again and prayed a third time, saying the same words. Why is it that with Jesus we have eternal life? What did Jesus do for us? He chose to drink the cup that we're supposed to drink. I mean, just think about that. He didn't just forgive us of our sins, but he also chose to pay the penalty and drink the cup for you and I. And this is a very serious question. Who would drink the cup? It's a very serious decision in our lives. Will we allow Jesus to drink it? Or are we going to have to drink it? And we know if we have Jesus, we have life, right? So it's only without Jesus that we would have to drink this cup. And it's a decision that we need to make. Luke chapter 22, verse 44. Luke chapter 22. It describes Jesus. This is at the Garden of Gethsemane. Luke chapter 22, verse 44, the Bible says, And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Now at this point, when Jesus was at the Garden of Gethsemane, did he get whipped? Did he get bruised? Did he get treated that way yet? This is right before he was about to get caught, where the Roman soldiers came to get him. He was not touched yet, but yet great drops of blood was dripping from him. The pain and agony that Jesus was experiencing in his heart that was coming from the cup of God's wrath caused him to suffer this way. I would like to read Desire of Ages, page 687. Inspiration says, The sins of men weighed heavily upon Christ, and the sense of God's wrath against sin was crushing out his life. It was just the very fact that he was about to drink this bitter cup and experience God's wrath that was crushing out his life. Now, who gave Jesus this cup to drink? We find in Scripture, John chapter 18, verse 11. John chapter 18, verse 11. Who gave Jesus this bitter cup to drink? John 18, 11. And the Bible says, And then said Jesus unto Peter. Now, this is when the Roman soldiers came to the Garden of Gethsemane and captured Jesus. And one of his followers, Peter, pulls out a sword to protect Jesus and cuts off the ear of this soldier. Now, Jesus says in verse 11, Put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father has given me, shall not I drink of it? So who gave Jesus this cup? His Father. Now, how close was Jesus with his Father? It was very close. And, you know, before I get into this, just think about this. God the Father gave Jesus this cup to drink. Now think about John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his Son to drink the cup, that whosoever believeth in him shall not have to drink this cup, but can have eternal life, will not perish. I mean, isn't that something to grasp our minds upon? The love of God for you and I. And Jesus was very close to his Father. We can find in John chapter 8. John chapter 8 and verse 29. Jesus, he could do nothing of himself. In verse 29, Jesus says, "And he that sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him." Him and his Father was very close. The Bible says that God the Father never left him alone. And can you imagine? Isaiah 59, it says that our sins have separated us from God. Can you imagine Jesus experiencing this separation from drinking the wrath of God? He's beginning to separate from his Father in his own mind, in his own feelings. And he has never been separated from his Father. There's a messianic prophecy in Psalms. David wrote Psalms 22, verse 1 and 2. It's describing how Jesus would feel during this experience of drinking this cup. Psalms 22, verse 1 and 2. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me? And from the words of my roaring, oh, my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and I'm not silent. Did Jesus say these words when he was hanging on the cross? Matthew chapter 27 and verse 46. Matthew 27 verse 46. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?" That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Or why hast thou abandoned me? He's beginning to feel this separation from his Father. Now, I mean, how can we just understand this separation that Jesus was experiencing? I think about a child being left alone, crying for his or her parent. You've seen that before. A child is scared. A child is wanting to be near to his or her parent. Or I think about my own relationship I had with my father. My father, he passed away December 2nd, 2009, last year. And it crushes my heart to think I cannot talk with him anymore. It crushes my heart to know that I can't share the joys of life with him anymore. My father was a carpenter. I can't show him the house that I'm building. I mean, I can't ask him for advice anymore. I can't be encouraged by him anymore. I can't experience his love anymore. I don't have the friendship with him anymore. And yet alone, I do have the hope that I will see him in heaven again. Can you imagine what Jesus was experiencing without that hope? He never felt like he had the hope that he was going to be with his Father in heaven again. The devil was harassing him that he would think that he was not going to see his Father again. He was not going to resurrect. Inspiration says in Desire of Ages, page 687, Satan told him that if he became the surety for a sinful world, the separation would be eternal. He would not be identified, he would be identified with Satan's kingdom and would never more be one with God. The temptation is going through the mind of Christ that he would never more be with his Father. Desire of Ages, page 753. Satan, with his fierce temptations, wrung the heart of Jesus. The Savior could not see through the portals of the tomb. Hope did not present to him his coming forth from the grave a conqueror, or tell him of the Father's acceptance of the sacrifice. He feared that sin was so offensive to God that their separation was to be eternal. Now listen to these key words right here, this sentence. Christ felt the anguish which the sinner will feel when mercy shall no longer plead for the guilty race. It was the sense of sin bringing the Father's wrath upon him as man's substitute that made the cup he drank so bitter and broke the heart of the Son of God. Jesus drank the cup . Are you going to drink the cup also? We don't have to. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13. The Bible says, Christ, he has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. Jesus has redeemed us from the curse of the law, which is what? What is the curse of the law? Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. He's redeemed us from this curse of death. The curse of drinking the cup of the wrath of God. For he hung on the tree. He too was, our substitute. Jesus bared our sins so we don't have to suffer the curse and drink from the cup of the wrath of God. And this is called the everlasting gospel. In the first angel's message, it talks about worshiping God, fear God, keep his commandments. The hour of judgment is come. But before these messages are told, the angel first does what? Preaches the everlasting gospel. And this, what we're talking about right now, is the everlasting gospel. I never did before see. You know, I hear that Jesus forgave me of my sins, but he not only forgave me, he took my place. You know, this is good news, right? The gospel in Greek means good news. And, you know, it's like we were being imprisoned to sin. We were sentenced on death row. And Jesus took our sentence upon himself and freed us. It's against the law to ride an ATV motorcycle four-wheeler on the highway. You can't ride it on the highway. But me and my brother, we wanted to ride it on the highway. Because we live here in Hawaiian Paradise Park, and we wanted to go all the way to Champagne Ponds down Puhiki. And you can take all the back roads to go there. The only way you have to drive on the highway is this down Kaloli or down Paradise or Makuu. And then parts of Hawaiian beaches, because you drive down to Makuu, you go to Beach Road, and you travel this real bumpy road, but it's fun on the ATV, all the way to Hawaiian beaches. You take down the highway, you take a back road called Wawa Road. It comes all the way down to Four Corners, down Puiki. You take a left, and you go to Champagne Ponds. It's a really warm pond with lots of turtles. And we wanted to do this. So we're on the highway. We go through all the dirt roads. We come out at Makuu, 18th Street. Right when we pull up at the stop sign, a police officer pulls right in front of us. He was like, oh, man. My brother was like, I'm going to go. And just burn out and run away from this cop. But we just stayed there, and the police officer said, you guys got to go home. You guys cannot be riding this on the road. Did I experience grace from the police officer? Well, what we did was not go home. We left. The police officer left. We ripped all the stickers off the four-wheeler so it looks like a different bike. We thought he wouldn't notice us, right? We go all the way to the beach. We have fun. We're swimming. Now we ought to go back home. So we're driving home. We're at the four-corner stop signs. And guess who pulls up right in front of us again? The same exact police officer. He looked at us. Now you got to understand this. The law says your motorcycle is going to get impounded. The law says you're going to have to pay a large sum of money to get this out, plus some fines. I don't know what else fines there is, but the police officer looked at us, he shook his head, and he said, get out of here. Oh, man, we went straight home. Now, did the police officer do the right thing? I think he did the right thing. No, he didn't do the right thing. Why? Because the law says I was supposed to get the bike impounded and pay a fine. Now, I experienced grace, right? And a lot of preachers, they use an example like this for us to understand the grace of God, right? However, let me give you a little twist to this story. Say the police officer makes us wait there. He calls his friend with a trailer. He picks up the bike, takes it to the police station, writes us a ticket. Say it's $300. I go down there, and I try to get the bike out. I give him the cash. The same police officer looks at us and says, I'll pay that. He pulls out his wallet. He takes out $300, and he lets us take the bike away for free. That is what Jesus has done for us. He not only has forgiven us of our sins, but he also has paid the death penalty for us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. This is a powerful verse. The Bible says, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. For he had made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And I want to read to you, I'll close in this passage from Steps to Christ. This is talking about Jesus, the first chapter, God's love for man. Jesus is our sacrifice. He is our advocate. He is our brother. bearing our human form before the Father's throne, and through eternal ages, one with the race he has redeemed, the Son of Man. Now, why did Jesus do this? And all this, that man might be uplifted from the ruin and degradation of sin, that he might reflect the love of God and share the joy of holiness. God has something better for us. He doesn't want us to drink of this cup that is so painful for us to experience. He wants to give us joy. He wants to give us the experience of holiness. There's many scriptures from the Bible that show that God loves us. So why is it that people still will be lost? Why is it that there will still be a huge group of people running into the mountains hiding? First John chapter 5, verse 11 and 12. And this is the record that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that has the Son has what? Life. And he that has not the Son of God has not life. My friends, will you receive Jesus as your Savior? It's our choice that we have. And will you accept God's law as a standard of righteousness? Jesus drank the cup for you and I, that we do not have to drink it. But if we do not have Jesus, we will have to drink of this cup. And I just want to ask, who will drink the cup? Our closing hymn this morning is Jesus Paid It All.